And I want to echo that we do want to honor the mothers. And thank you guys for all that you do. Praise God. Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning, and God bless you, and thank you all for coming and worshiping the Lord and loving on Him the way that you do. Praise the Lord. I think I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction than I had intended this morning. As I was over in my office and getting ready for this morning, I felt like that there was just something that the Lord really wanted to exhort some people that were here today with, and just really encourage you, particularly those that are mothers or grandmothers, that maybe you have some kids out there that aren't necessarily living the way that they should be. They're not serving God the way that you had raised them up to serve the Lord. And, you know, the Scripture tells us that if you raise a child in the Lord, that they, when they're older, that they will not depart from it. Now, that doesn't mean that when they're younger, they won't. You following me? It just means that ultimately, when the good seed's sown, the good fruit will come as a result of that. So you can be encouraged today to know that if you've sowed some good seed into people in your children's life, that you can expect a good harvest. When you do what? When you water it. Praise God. When you take that seed that's been planted and you water it with the washing of water by the Word. When you do that, you can expect. Just like our yards do that, right? Especially during this time of year. When we get a good rain, what happens pretty soon thereafter? Well, you're going to have to get somebody to cut your yard, or you're going to have to cut your yard yourself, right? So that's the way it works, is when we water the seed that's been sown in our children. Hallelujah. And you can do that through prayer. You can do that through speaking into their lives. But a lot of times it's just done in the Spirit. And you can expect to see a good harvest come forth in their life. You know, something that I always think about with the Lord concerning being a mother, you know, we oftentimes refer to God as what? Our Heavenly Father, right? And it seems like a lot of times in the Scriptures that you give a lot more attention to the men or whatever, and they kind of get acknowledged a little bit more than the women. And a lot of that's due to the fact that culturally, back in those times when the Bible was written, men, you know, held a higher status than women. And we know that's not necessarily true the way things work out. God has created all of us. He loves all of us and favors all of us equally. You know, regarding, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or something like that. The Lord loves us all and favors us all perfectly. Amen. But I was thinking about this one time. I remember several years back, I was thinking back in Genesis. When the Bible talks about how God created man in what? His likeness and in His image. Y'all know that? And so what that basically means is, in God's likeness and image, is He was created to look like God, but listen to this, He was also created to be like God. Amen. Carry God's characteristics and do things the way the Lord does. And we know that that's true because soon right after that, the Lord immediately begins to commission him to do what? To go have dominion and do all these various things that he would himself be doing over the earth. But this is the thing that stood out to me. God created Adam like this, right? Well, what happens after that? God sees that it's not good for man to be alone. So what does he do? He causes a great sleep to come over him. And then he ends up pulling one of Adam's ribs and makes woman from man. So here's the point that I really want to cement in you today, is that if man was created in God's image and his likeness, Adam himself, and then woman was taken from man, what does that mean? That means that woman is at least, you know, a part of her, just like a part of man, is what? In the image and in the likeness of God. So for all of you ladies out there, you need to know something. There is a difference between men and women. Amen. We discover that real quick, particularly when we get married. Praise God. You find out that we're not all the same. There are differences between us. But you know something? Man and woman together becoming one flesh together is what? The perfect representation of the likeness and image of God. The most perfect man in and of himself cannot, I didn't stutter when I said that, he cannot fully represent the image and likeness of God. Nor can a woman by herself fully represent the image and likeness of God. No, it's when man and when woman come together and become one flesh is when God is perfectly characterized. Amen. So what we need to learn from that is women also carry with them this nature and essence of God. And I believe, personally, you've got God who is a Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, when you go and study the characteristics of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, do you know what you find? Is that the Holy Spirit Himself carries a lot of the characteristics that, generally speaking, women do. Amen. So I personally believe, and again, this is treology. This isn't theology. This is treology. My opinion is that the Holy Spirit carries more of the maternal nature and characteristics of God. Amen. Now, that doesn't make you ladies Holy Ghost Junior. You understand that at the same time, right? You know, a lot of people get confused with that and say they want to get there and they want to do the Holy Ghost job and stuff like that. But no, the Holy Spirit actually carries a lot of the same characteristics you do in perfection, in righteousness, and so forth. So that's something that's really awesome. And why the Holy Spirit is so needful in our lives. Amen. How many of you know a child suffers a certain disadvantage in their life if they do not have a good representation of a father in their life and a good representation of a mother in their life? Now, thank God, God can make up for any of that. For any of us that were maybe raised with one parent or something like that for various reasons, God can step in and make sure that we turn out all right. Praise God. I think I'm looking at a few people like that. But at the same time, the way God designed it and in its perfection is God has designed it that we have both a father and a mother that are doing things His way, raising those children up, and that helps that child to turn out the way that they were designed to turn out. Amen? So that's the important role that a mother plays on top of the way a father is supposed to be stepping in. And I believe in a lot of the situations we've got in our world today, a lot of the issues, I believe Minton brought this out this morning, some of the things that we are dealing with in the world today, the main issue is not having good parents. If we would raise our children up the way that we need to and teach them the right morals and characteristics, and I just praise my wife this morning for this, because she spends a lot of time with Levi homeschooling, and so she gets to be the primary person that pours into his life. And guess what? He's always had wired in him a filter system to know between good and evil and right and wrong. And a lot of things we didn't necessarily have to tell him. He just knew if something came on the TV, this is not good. And he would just know that he needed to turn his eyes away from that. And that's the job of parents, to raise their children up in a way like that to where that actually happens. And so kudos to you, Shannon, for doing that so well. And I know many of you ladies out there have done that in your children's life as well. But when we get raised up by both of those examples, it really brings us into the place that we need to be. And the same thing is true spiritually speaking. You need both the paternal and maternal characteristics of God in your life to grow up as a child of God and be spiritually mature and reach your full potential. Amen. So, with that being said, what is this full characteristic of God? You got our Heavenly Father. And thank God, many people don't even understand this aspect of it, because they didn't have a father that raised them and loved them and cared for them the way that he should have. And some people didn't even have a father that was even around, an absentee father in their life. But I want to tell you something today, if that's you. You have a Heavenly Father. That even if your father or your mother would forsake you, the Lord will stand by you. He has never left you, and the awesome thing about it is He has loved you with an everlasting love in a way that you have never experienced it here on this earth. God is love. Amen. His primary characteristic is He is love. And so He is that God that even when His kids messed up, even when His kids bit into that fruit and death entered in into the garden, and they were afraid. They still had not come to a place of knowing how good their God was, that they went and hid themselves behind the fig leaves. But God came looking for them, and God, I believe, personally, God was coming to restore them because He's a God of love. Amen. That's the kind of God that we serve. So your God loves you even in your worst state, in your worst condition, and He has, in His love for you, provided everything you will ever need in your life for life and godliness. Amen. So that love thing, you got to get that. But at the same time, you got to know that Heavenly Father kind of love thing, but you got to know the Holy Spirit's fellowship in your life. And that's one thing. I know we got some visitors today, but that's one thing that makes our church unique from maybe some of the other ones you've been around, is that in a lot of other churches, you haven't heard so much a word spoken about the Holy Spirit unless the doxology was being sung. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. And then what is it going to say? Praise Him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That might be the only time you ever hear the Holy Spirit mentioned in some churches. But I'm here to tell you today, just as a child needs a good mother in their life, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Holy Spirit's the one that has been provided for you. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're just going to free will this morning. Hallelujah. You know, we always got to be flexible to do what the Lord wants us to do and say what He wants us to say. I had a nice flowery message prepared for you this morning. I'll probably do that next week, praise God. But I'm going to tell you today, this is what we need to be hearing. 2 Corinthians 13, the last verse, verse 14. I want you to notice this verse. Now, interestingly enough, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 is the last verse, the last words the Apostle Paul likely ever spoke to the church of Corinth. When you add up 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you have 27 chapters, I believe. And the very last verse of the very last chapter, the most important words Paul is leaving for his spiritual children, is these words that he said he was praying over them. And notice this. He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Now, this is a prayer. This is actually something Paul was praying for them. And how many of you know that if you have spiritual children out there, if you've got natural children, say just think about your own kids. Say you're not ever going to be able to talk to them again. And you got to say your last words to them. Don't you reckon that the last words that you're going to communicate to them is going to be some of the most important words? Amen? It'd be kind of like, I know we got some business people in this place. If you were going to turn your business over to somebody, and you're going to leave, and this is your baby, this is your project or something like that, and then you turn it over to somebody else, how many of you know the last words you speak are going to be some of the most important pieces of instruction that they could have to make sure that they can continue to run that business? So you understand where I'm coming from on this. So if Paul chooses these words as being the last ones ever to speak to his spiritual children, you got to know these are important words. And what is it? He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now, if you'll notice here, he is describing the Trinity. The Jesus Christ part, the God, which is God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And then what he's specifically doing is he is showing us what all three members of the Godhead produce or should be producing in all of our lives. In other words, when we have Jesus Christ, what did Jesus Christ come to give to us? The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason why we have the grace of God in our life, by Him going to the cross for us. Can I get an amen? Jesus Christ was the one that came to provide grace. And this is what's so awesome, is the grace that Jesus Christ provided for us is not just the grace that you hear down the street at the First Church of the Frozen Chosen, which is the grace that was made available to forgive you of your sins and make you a child of God. Now, thank God for that grace. That's grace we all have to experience, and it is by far the most awesome aspect of the grace of God we could ever receive in our life. But I've got some good news for you. There is more grace to be had in your life. There is grace for your physical body. There is grace for your finances. There's grace for your marriage. There's grace for any relationship in your life. There is more grace that has been provided than most Christians are even tapping into, and it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how we know that? Because why would he pray for a church that's full of born-again believers for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with them if it was already with them? Amen. So there's more grace. Hallelujah for that. And we were singing, I'm a new creation this morning. And that's one of the best aspects of it is I have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And now I can enter into not just the grace that frees me from the penalty of sin, but the grace that frees me from the dominion of sin. Now sin has no more control over us, and we can walk and live in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and actually experience life like God intends for us to have. Amen. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it doesn't stop there. How about the love of God? The love of God to be with us. The love of God the Father. This is something, like I was talking about earlier, we've got to know, we've got to experience in our life. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that think they got this. I can sit there and preach all day that God loves you. And there's so many Christians that'll sit in pews like this, and they'll sit there and they'll be nodding their head up and down like that little toy you got in your car with the little bobblehead. Yep, I know, Pastor, God loves me. Well, I'm glad you told me. Because if I wasn't just basing it on looking at your face, I might not realize that you know that. Because when you know God loves you, when you have that truth living in your heart the way it needs to, not just mentally assenting to a truth, it'll change the way you look on life. You know Almighty God, your Heavenly Father, favors you and loves you with an everlasting love. And you know what that basically will turn out to a lot of times? When you have that living in your heart, you won't give a rip what anybody else thinks about you. The only reason why we get so devastated because somebody didn't acknowledge me the way I need to, or people were talking about me, and I don't have the love of my husband or my wife, or my kids didn't acknowledge me on Mother's Day. The only reason we get all devastated about that is because we're not living and basking in the love God has for us. If I'm living in that place, man, you know what? It's almost kind of can create a little bit of an air about you. Is that when you're living in that place and then somebody comes and says something ugly towards you and they try to act like they're holding something over you on that, you can just basically say, "Hun, I love you and I wish the best for you, but I couldn't give a rip right now what you think about me. God loves me. He's in my life. He cares for me." Amen? Just because I like giving this testimony, I'm going to give it to you again. There was one time the Lord spoke this to me, and I used to get devastated by the way people treated me. I was such an insecure person until I came to the love of Christ. I mean, I used to be the type of person, I couldn't even wear anything above earth tone colors in my life because I was so insecure and I didn't want to have any kind of attention drawn to me. But then when I got born again, hallelujah, and my heart changed and I knew what God had done for me, man, I started dressing like a daggum rainbow, hallelujah. I didn't care what anybody thought about me. Because I'm like, man, we're the light of the world. We might as well dress like it, bless God. Amen. And so I didn't care. All those insecurities were erased. But I still had little things that I would deal with in my heart when people would, you know, not do the things for me that I felt like they should. And I remember there was this one particular time, and I was all devastated by the way my boss was treating me in this particular job just outside of Athens, Georgia. And I was driving home that day, and I remember I was just crying to myself. I mean, I was just like, I was whining. There's no nice way to put it other than I was being a whiny baby. Y'all know what a whiny baby is, right? And I was just like, oh God, why doesn't she like me? I just wish she liked me. I don't know why she treats me this way. And the Lord just stopped me in the midst of that and basically told me, he said, Trey, why do you care if anybody else ever accepts you or casts their vote for you when I have already elected you? How many of you know that's what the Bible says, that we are the elect in Christ Jesus? You've been chosen. Praise God forever. And the Bible goes as far as saying, not only have we been chosen, but we have received the adoption as sons. Now, there might be some people in here that have been adopted before, and that's been your experience and stuff like that. And I remember one time I was teaching on these verses, and we had some kids that were sitting there, and man, I started talking about these things, and it was right for them. And what I said was this: it's one thing to be born from parents, but you know something? Some of us are on this planet because not because our mama and daddy chose us or wanted us. It was just the natural course of things, right? You know, that's just the way it can kind of work. But you know, with adoption, you actually have to be picked out. You have to be chosen. You have to be selected. It's like those parents, they come in there and say, I want that one. Give me that one. So the fact we are adopted in Christ, Jesus, hallelujah, you know what that means? It means that God actually looked into you, and here's the most amazing part, and into your future, and still picked you. You mean, Pastor, that God chose me, selected me, and elected me when He knew all the mistakes and the flaws and all the falling upstairs I was going to do? Oh, hey, amen. Yes, He did. He knew everything, every mistake, everything you were ever going to do, and He still said, I want that one. I want her. I want him. See, that's the love of God, and that's something we've got to have living in our heart, that God actually has chosen me. He picked me. I'm His favorite. Minton's doing a Bible study on Wednesday nights on the favor of God, and I think it was the King James that talked about how we were His favorist. Favorist, right? Amen. Well, praise God, I'm His favorist. Hallelujah. And so are you. And you got to know that. Amen. It just changes stuff in your life. Hallelujah. It just creates a big smile on your face. But when you look at this verse, thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for the love of God. Thank God for these things. If that would have been all that we had in Christ Jesus, that would have been amazing. That would have been wonderful. But that is not all we should be basking in and experiencing in our life. The last phrase, the communion of the Holy Spirit, is a necessity in the life of a believer. Just as much as you need the grace, just as much as you need the love, you need the communion as well. And that communion is provided through the wonderful and precious Holy Spirit of God who has been provided in our lives. How many of you have experienced and touched and the experience of the Holy Spirit in your life? I'm telling you, the awesome thing is, for all of you that had been raising your hands when I asked that question, I am not just talking, though, about having been baptized in the Holy Spirit and having an experience that happened decades ago. I'm talking about currently walking with Him and having this fellowship be with you. That's what's awesome. The word that's used for communion here is the word that's most commonly translated fellowship. Fellowship. In fact, I like the word communion just in itself. You take that word apart. Com means two. And then the word union. So it's a unity or a unison of two. Like becoming one spirit, one flesh. That's what the Holy Spirit has been sent to be in your life. Your partner in life. The one that walks with you everywhere you go and that you just commune with Him. And I know a lot of people, they get all choked up on this and they have a hard time believing and say, well, I'm not so sure about this, Pastor. I mean, I've been taught I'm only supposed to be praying to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so why would I pray to the Holy Spirit? And people have all kinds of misconceptions about this, but when you leave today and I meet you on the front steps of the church and we're communing, we're talking, are you praying to me? Nope. You're just fellowshipping with me. You're just talking, right? That's the way we're supposed to be with the Holy Spirit. Is every day of our life, we need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. When you wake up in the morning, you can be like Catherine Kuhlman coined this phrase, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And you start acknowledging the Holy Spirit in your life and say, "I look so forward to this exciting day that we're going to be walking together today. And I thank you, you're there to lead me and guide me and show me everything I'm supposed to be doing in my life today." And you include the Holy Spirit to come alongside of you. And the Holy Ghost, who's always with you, then begins to manifest himself in your life. Then he begins to show you things. You go into a store and you'll start seeing things about people. You'll know things about them. Called a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all these gifts of the Spirit that we have in 1 Corinthians 12. And then the Holy Spirit will start showing you how to love people, how to extend grace to people. Your heavenly Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you will begin to become an active part of your life to where now he's living through you and walking out his life through you. That's an awesome place to be. But I'm just here to tell you, most Christians don't really realize anything that I'm telling you right now. Most Christians have no awareness in their life that you can actually talk with the Holy Spirit and that he actually wants to do something other than get you born again. But he does. Amen. He wants to be there to help you with your yard. He wants to be there to help you when you've got a tough financial decision to make. He wants to help you in your family's life and how to bring and draw your family closer together. He even wants to show you a strategic and specific way to honor your mother today. If we had just asked him, amen, and included him in our life. That's what the Holy Spirit has come to provide for us. So let's go to John chapter 14, and let me show you something Jesus said regarding this precious and powerful Holy Spirit in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Now again, like I was talking about, that's the last verse to the Corinthians. But John chapter 14, 15, and 16, if you read these verses out, you'll notice that they're mostly in red letters, right? And why is that? Because Jesus is doing all the talking. And this is Jesus' last evening with his disciples. So again, this is a similar situation to what Paul had there. These are Jesus' last words to his disciples that had been following him for the past 3 years. Amen. So how many of you know these words must also be some of the most significant words that Jesus ever spoke to his disciples? Amen. And in John chapter 14 and verse 16, look at this. Jesus said these words. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you," listen to this, "another helper." Another helper. "That he may abide with you forever." Now, what's interesting here is, if you really think about these words, another helper. So if there is another helper, there must have been an original helper. Right? There's a couple of helpers that's being referred to here. So all of you that are learned in the Scriptures and believe you might have the right answer here on this Sunday morning, who do you think is the other helper that Jesus is saying or he's referring to in this verse? Himself. Jesus Christ was the original helper. And when you look the word helper up, man, it means so much. Again, this is how much Jesus really is to you. He is, I believe the Amplified Bible throws all these words out to define this word for helper. It means comforter. It means counselor. It means strengthener. It means standby. It means advocate. It means intercessor. And I like this word right here. This is one of the best words, I believe, encapsulates what this word helper means. Your coach. Oh, there's nothing better than having a good coach in your life. How many of you have ever had, whether it was athletics or maybe something else, has had a good coach in your life? Right. Yeah, I mean, I believe a lot of us have. And sometimes those best coaches that we had were the ones you didn't like having when you had them. Right? Because, oh, man, they're a little harder. They're not as sweet and nice as everybody else. But you know what? You knew you needed what they had. Those coaches, listen to this, weren't there to swing the bat for you. They weren't there to run the ball for you. But they were there to train and instruct you of how to do it more effectively. So you are the one doing the work. You are the one playing in the game. But your coach showed you how to do it better. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He's not there to do it for you. He's not there to do everything that He desires to do in and through our lives Himself. But what does He do? He shows you how to do it better. He's made some of you better cooks. He's made some of you better wives. He's made some of you better husbands. He's made some of you better at all different things if you will allow the instruction that He'll give you. But how many of you know, when it comes to coaches, or if even you look into parenting, if you don't listen to them and you don't apply what they tell you to do, it's not really going to do you a lot of good, is it? Right? So it's like a child, and it's amazing to me. And I was one of these. I was one of the ones that did the exact same thing I'm telling you right here. But isn't it amazing that when we were younger, how we thought how stupid our parents are and how out of touch they are, and they would tell us to do something, and we're like, nah, they don't really know what they're talking about. I'm going to do it my own way, right? I think we've all done that, particularly in those teenage years, right? But how many of you know, now in hindsight, we look back, and we're like, man, I really wish I'd have listened to my mom a little bit more then. I really wish I'd have listened to my dad a little bit more then. And how many of us have made a decision, we made a turn, we did something, and it created some kind of a problem, it created some kind of an accident, and we look back and we said, man, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I knew the Holy Ghost was telling me not to think that or say that or go that way, right? It's time we start including Him and actually listening to Him in our life. Because He'll make your life worth living. He'll make it fun if we'll just learn to take advantage of that another helper. And this is the awesome part. If Jesus was the other helper, what does that mean? That means the Holy Ghost is just like Jesus. Amen. I know a lot of people don't believe that. They believe the Holy Ghost is just a cloud or a spiritual being, and He's a feeling, He's a goosebump. And that's just something that just irritates the mess out of me sometimes. Oh, see these goosebumps? That's the Holy Ghost on me. The Holy Ghost is not a goosebump. You understand that? The Holy Ghost is a person. And He's just as much of a person as God the Father and Jesus Christ is. How many of you would like this today? Johnny, you know I like picking on you. But how many of you today, and as much as I'll say certain things to Johnny and give him a hard time in certain ways, if he walked in this place today, say he came in a little bit late and he walked through that door and said, everybody pause, there it is. And I referred to him as an it, that'd be a little insulting, wouldn't it? You wouldn't like that if I referred to you as something other than a person? Well, when you study John 14, 15, and 16, you know what you find out? Over and over, I believe 17 times in these three chapters, the Holy Spirit is referred to with a personal pronoun. He, Himself, His. Why so many times? Because I believe the Lord was trying to get across to us that this Holy Spirit you got living on the inside of you, He's not a bird. You know, people like to make the Holy Ghost out to be just that dove. He's not a dove. He descended like a dove. He's a person. He is a His. He is a He. He is a Him. And we got to learn to acknowledge Him in our lives, in our everyday lives. And boy, it'll just make everything a whole lot better. It'll keep us out of a lot of problems, a lot of mistakes, if we will just include the Holy Spirit in our lives. Every morning when we wake up, every night when our head hits the pillow, we are talking to the Holy Spirit and letting Him do His work in our life. Because why? The Holy Spirit is to us today, listen, The Holy Spirit is to us today what Jesus was to His disciples yesterday. This is how Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of His Father. Jesus isn't the one here on the earth, but the Holy Ghost is. And the Holy Spirit who's with you is wanting to do for you what Jesus wanted to do for Peter, what Jesus wanted to do for John, and for all of these different things. The Lord wants to be that in your everyday life. The Holy Spirit does. Amen? So you're going to let Him today? You're going to let the Holy Spirit be your everything? And listen, let those maternal characteristics in the nature of God be released into your life. And the Holy Spirit, listen to this, if you didn't have a great experience with a mother in your life, and I believe I'm speaking prophetically to somebody in this place today, that there are people in here that maybe you didn't even have a mother present in your life, or you didn't really have a great experience of a mother the way God designed it to be. Guess what? The Holy Spirit will be that to you. He'll step in your life and He'll love you and nurture you and comfort you and care for you the way that your mother should have. And He will make it all right, because the Holy Ghost says to you today, behold, I can make all things new in your life if you will just receive my maternal nature in your life. If you'll walk with me, if you'll talk with me, if you'll fellowship with me, I will begin to introduce you into a love that you've never experienced, a kind of raising up that you've never known. I will give it to you because that's what I do, says the Spirit of grace. Amen. So we've got to receive that in our life. And so let the Holy Spirit be who He wants to be in your life, and let Him work in your life in a super special way today. Let the Holy Spirit be that part of the Godhead that provides the communion that you need in your life. Can I get an amen? Well, let's stand on our feet then. Praise